and welcome to Beyond Markets by Julius Baer, a series featuring conversations with experts to share recent market developments, key insights, and strategic inputs from around the globe.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Madeline Teo, and I head the Fixed Income Asia Research Team at Bank Julius Baer. A warm welcome back to this week's podcast recording. Today's main presentation is mainly on an unexpected stronger US dollar and rates that have buoyed Asian currencies. The month of April has seen currency in Asia whiplashed owing to US dollar strength and repricing of Fed rate cut expectations. In fact, the losses accelerated in the month of April after US CPI data shows sticky inflation and a stronger than expected US economy. Japanese yen is the worst performing currency at nearly 9% loss year to date, followed by Thai baht at 7.7%, both due to a wide interest rate gap with the US. Just within the month of April, Japanese yen lost 5.18% against the US dollar. The losses accelerated after Bank of Japan held rates and indicated monetary policy will stay easy. However, due to the lack of clear guidance on rate hike path, Japanese yen breached 160 yesterday before rebounding on suspected intervention. Thai baht also suffered as its policy rate is way below that of the US. And it's not only the currencies. The local government bonds, or we call it rates, are also impacted by the sell-off. Philippine peso government bond saw a whopping 60 basis point movement month to date, while Indonesia government bonds saw yield jump 22 bits in one single day in April. On the other end of the spectrum, we have the Chinese government bond. They are the best performer due to the loose monetary policy to support growth in China, followed by India rupee due to index inclusion. Due to the currency volatility, rate cuts are off the table. In fact, last week, Bank Indonesia did a surprise 25 basis points hike to defend the rupiah. So yes, while our Asian currencies are suffering now, we will not equate this to the Asian financial crisis. For those old enough like me who remembered, Asian financial crisis started in Thailand after the real estate bubble burst. The collapse of the currency exposed its excessive foreign debt exposure and currency mismatch. This then had a domino effect on Indonesia, South Korea, Malaysia, and the Philippines. The IMF came to the rescue, and the outcome was currency devaluation. That was a painful lesson for central bank in this region. And the difference now is the currency crisis we are seeing now is due to macro factors and less due to the vulnerabilities of Asian economies. Most Asian economies are now better positioned to weather currency volatility with first stronger fundamentals. Excluding Sri Lanka, fiscal situation, external debt levels, foreign exchange reserves, these are all better monitored and better managed. For example, Thailand has insignificant dollar government debt, while Indonesia has since reduced the foreign debt government holdings to 30%. Second, having a more flexible exchange rate does help the central bank to fight currency volatility. Because of these reasons, the good news is that the macro factors could reverse. The less positive news is interest rate differential will continue to drive currency performance, and the governments can only help to manage the decline. So central banks are better positioned, but they do not have easy path as foreign exchange reserves are finite. So besides higher US dollar, there is also higher oil prices currently. Brent reached a high of $89 per barrel due to geopolitics. A quick one on this topic by our commodity analyst, Norbert Recker. He sees high oil prices as temporary and risk premium will start deflating after the peak news when war is announced like in previous wars. He said storage levels indicate ample supply, and there are other regions that are increasing supply to compensate for petrol nations such as Saudi Arabia's supply cuts. Our view is that most in Asia can weather temporary higher oil and US dollar. The situation of a slowing economy in China is a different story. With China's peers, like the big exporters such as Japan and Korea, seeing their currencies depreciating, about say 9% for yen and won is about 5%, there is no reason to actually maintain a strong RMB. The PBOC, or the People's Bank of China, has recently loosened the grip on the fixing, and we see this as a start for PBOC to allow the currency to weaken slowly. If you think about it, a weak CNY could help address China's overcapacity issue, and a weaker CNY can also help the deflation situation by boosting domestic prices of imports. It is therefore quite clear that US dollar is key, as the timing of a US rate cut is less certain. Most houses predict a cut before the election, which is going to be held in November, and maybe one of this house predicted one after. Asian credit spreads have tightened significantly since our upgrade in early December last year. It has now reached a multi-year low. So this segment has outperformed US high grade with nearly about 65 bits of credit spread compression compared with US high grade of 48 basis points. And this is actually due to continued net bond redemption, meaning that bonds is issued in the market is actually much lower than those out for redemption. So you see here that US dollar is key, and credit spread compression can help to offset some of this US Treasury movement. We still stay away from local rates except for Sing dollar due to the strong investor base. We keep our call for Asian high grade and quality bonds for the matter of the fact, and continue to have a quality bias, because higher for longer rates means financing costs remain high. You may ask, is this the right entry level? Answer is, an entry at current yield levels or higher provide investors with higher carry and cushion before Fed's eventual rates cut. We still see this inflationary trend in the US to be intact. And this week is important as we await Fed's rate decision and key employment data. So stay with us. With that, I end my podcast recording and have a wonderful week ahead.
You have been listening to Beyond Markets by Julius Baer. If you like what you've heard, please tell us by leaving a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Subscribe to Beyond Markets on your favorite podcast player to stay up to date with our latest episodes. To learn more about Julius Baer, our people, our latest thinking, visit us at www.juliusbaer.com. We will be back with a brand new episode soon. The information and opinions expressed in this podcast constitute marketing material and are not the result of independent financial or investment research. Please refer to www.juliusbaer.com/legal/podcast for further important legal information.